let's see. Our scripture readings today are, the first one is from Psalm 84, and it's page 922 in your pew Bible. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn it rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord, God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. For no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Our second reading is from Matthew 4. And it's verses 1 to 11, and it's on page 1503 in your pew Bible. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our message this morning is going to come from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. It's in your pew Bibles on page 1821. Paul writes, "The armor of God." So the armor of God. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our strength is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. You may be able to stand firm. And then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up a shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, the words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you once again for the opportunity to share in this ministry, to share together as a family, and just to be certain that we are your children, and that we come here today to honor and to praise you and to encourage one another. Help us this day in all that we do, for we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he was actually a prisoner. And he was probably chained to a soldier. So he got kind of accustomed to working under stress. And he got to know about how the Roman soldiers got to live and their armor. And I think that's one of the reasons he uses this metaphor when he talks about the armor of God. Because he probably had to use it so many times when he was talking to the soldiers and with the people and the families he was accustomed to being assigned to or imprisoned to. But I think he had an opportunity, and the scripture tells us he had an opportunity to even lead some of them to Christ. And just being in chains and knowing that we're at war here, and he writes to us because he tells us that we're at war with the evil one. And we often forget that. That the evil one, he's around us in all different ways. In every way imaginable, and he tries to get at us. But we have the good news. We have the armor of God. Of course, we have to be bright enough to put it on. How many of you got up this morning, ran out of your house, and only had one shoe on? Anybody? So you can be taught. I had kids that used to do that. I used to watch my son Bo every morning. He'd come to the school bus, I'd watch him run out the door. And right before he'd get on the bus, he'd turn around and run back into the house. He'd forget something. Every day. He doesn't do that anymore. I was down to his house here a few weeks ago. I was impressed. He left for work and actually didn't come back in the house. We can be taught. So when I got studying this and I got to thinking, all right, so how are we gonna do this in a way that it'll make an impression, so in a way that we're gonna be able to remember it? So I got to thinking about it. Okay, so if this were a football game, you have defense, you have offense, and then you have to be present to play the game, right? So I decided to write about it in that form, the different ways we have to look at this. Because all this helps us to overcome temptation in our lives. When I thought about temptations, I couldn't help thinking about an example that I'd found somewhere. It was about minister who got himself in trouble because of temptation. He had an appointment, and he gets in his car, and he gets to the place where he needs to get in this building, and there's no place to park. So he circles the block, thinking, okay, there's got to be some place on this place to park. No place to park. It's only one spot in front, and it says no parking. And he's back there about 10 times, and he says, well, oh, well, so be it. So he pulls in, he parks the car, and he figures, well, I'll just leave a note for the guy who comes by. And so he writes in a note, he says, so I'm parked here because I circled the block 10 times, and I couldn't find a place to park, and I'm going to be late for my appointment. Forgive us our trespasses. Pastor so-and-so. That was great. He goes to his meeting and comes out, and he sees this ticket on the windshield. Comes with a note. I've been an officer of the law for 10 years. I've circled this block. And if I don't give you a ticket, I'm going to lose my job. Forgive us our trespasses. You think about that. You think life gets confusing sometimes. It seems like we get ourselves in situations where We're so tempted, and we can't avoid that temptation. So what do? Guess what? We put on the armor of God. You say, well, what good does that do me? Well, the armor of God's full of defenses. It has its offensive positions, and it has its presence. So when I looked at these, how do we use this armor of God? How do we dress? You've all heard the coin the phrase dress for success. Anybody read a book on that? How to do that? Come on, there's hundreds of books out there. Ever seen that, heard that phrase before? Dress for success? I think we all have. Well, Paul wants us to dress for faithfulness. How do you become faithful? How can you avoid temptation? What defenses does God really give to us? And he writes to the Ephesians in that. So the first thing he says, knowing you all know what the Roman soldiers looked like, he says, so I'm going to do it in, so they'll understand it. He says, so first thing you want to put on is the belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? Well, if you were a Roman soldier, they had these belts that they put on, and they were full of leather straps, and they'd have metal in them and all kinds of stuff to protect their loin. Well, it was kind of dirty fighting for somebody to strike you there in battle. So they tried to keep everything above it, but it was battle. And your enemies were your enemies. So they didn't wear these skirts for nothing. They were actually for protection. They were the belt of truth, their belt. Well, we have probably one of the smallest belts for protection. It's probably the smallest piece of armor we have put on, and it's called the belt of truth. Do you know how far the truth will go in your life if you just stick to the truth always and everywhere in everything you do? Become more faithful to God in all things. That's the first and probably one of the most important pieces of armor we can put on, is that belt of truth. Secondly, he tells them they need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we know as of Roman soldiers, these breastplates were put on to protect the vital organs like the heart, the lung, and that kind of thing. It was to guard their very center, their very being, because without your heart or lung, you're not going to function, are you? But the breastplate of righteousness Paul's talking about, he says, it's do the right thing. It's really simple. Too many times we know what the right thing is to do and we don't do it. Well, then you're open to death. You're open to sin. You're open to the devil's schemes. But when you know what the right thing is and you do the right thing, that's when you're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Next, he tells them, make sure you put on your shoes. We talked about shoes already, didn't we? Everybody put two shoes on this morning? You know, we all wear different kinds of shoes. Kathy's got sandals on. I got church shoes on. Aubrey actually shines his shoes. They look pretty nice. I don't think I've shined these in a while. I'm not certain they'll take a shine. If I had my preference, I'd be wearing boots up here. PJ, you got your boots on? Let me see. He does, I knew it. But you know, we all got different shoes. And why is that? Why do you have sneakers on, Linda?
They were my mother's.
Huh?
They were my mother's.
They were your mother's. That was a reason I hadn't even thought of before. My mom didn't wear these shoes.
She got
one
back.
There's a good question. But why did he mention shoes? Because he knows we're all different. We all go approach one another in different ways. We all have different jobs, different way we meet people in the world. You know, whether you're wearing sandals or flip-flops or nice shoes or work boots. Maybe they're, actually we had one guy went here with Sonny. He came in with his boots on and they didn't smell too good. I think he just came out of the barn. But it made an impression, because now people know where you're coming from.
And it gives us the opportunity to share with others. And those shoes and that way of sharing protects us spiritually. It protects us from the devil. It protects us from his schemes. Then he tells them that they have a shield of faith. What's he talking about? So if you're a Roman soldier, the shield would protect you from darts or arrows or whatever clubs they were going to try to beat you with. You could use your shield to protect you. We have that same shield in our faith, in our beliefs. If we hold to our beliefs, if we hold to that faith that we have been saved through Christ, devil, he can't hurt us. Doesn't matter what he swings at us. As long as we hold to that faith that we know that God is with us eternally and faithfully forever, it will protect us. And why do we know that? Because we put on our helmet of salvation. He tells us that he'll be with us and he'll guard us from all things if we are saved. That's what that helmet of salvation is that Paul's speaking of. We need to put that helmet on. We all know it's not real smart. Go out here and get on a motorcycle and go 100 miles an hour up Franklin Hill, you're going to end up with your head somewhere you're not going to want it to be. And if you ain't got a helmet on, what happens to you, Jim? You end up bald like you?
Where's the front off?
It gets worse, don't it? Yeah, it wears the front off your head when you're sliding down the road. We all know we need that helmet. And that's what salvation does for us. It gives us that protection. It protects our minds. So we know what to do in every situation. As I thought about this and I'm thinking about, that's pretty much all of them that we have there. Really, most all of them are for defense. He does give us one offensive weapon, though. And he calls it the sword of the Spirit. Well, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And how do we get to use that? What do we do with it? You know the old term that says there's nothing like good defense is nothing like a good defense but a good offense. So you got to have a good offense. The more I thought about it, thinking, okay, what's a good offense? And I got to thinking about the days when I was in the Navy. And I had a buddy of mine. We were out at sea and we'd been out, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. I think we were on a North Atlantic cruise. We'd been out quite a while and mail call finally comes and we always got excited back then. We didn't have email and nobody had cell phones. And mail call comes and then next thing I know I see is this guy's heartbroken. He gets a Dear John letter. He looks at this and he says, I can't believe this. Been gone 3 months and now she's going to marry somebody else. And he looks at me and he says, I know what I'm going to do. I need to collect some pictures. You got a picture? Got any pictures you don't want of any girls? So I dug through and I gave him one of Bonnie's pictures. And he went around. He ended up with about 25 pictures. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to write her a note. So he writes her this little note. He says, can't remember which one you are, so please select your photo out of the pictures I sent. And please return them. He puts them in the mail and sends them. He took an offensive position. We laugh at that kind of thing. But you know what God wants us to do? Every time we get in a situation that we feel we're going to get hurt, refer to the word. The word will set you free. Didn't Jesus do that in his temptation after 40 days? Every time the devil tempted him, Jesus responded by, it is written. Think about that. It is written. If you know the word, if you study the word, you have it in your heart, every time you're tempted, one of them are going to come to mind. You're going to think, it is written. It is written. I shall have no other gods before me. Every time we're tempted, if you have studied the word, those words will come to mind. It is written. So what does the armor of God do for us in our presence? In our present situation? Now handle it. What are we supposed to do with it? How do we know that we are truly His? And what's our job? Because this can be dirty work. Fighting the devil is hard. It's probably one of the hardest jobs in the world. It's one of the hardest jobs that God gives to us. I thought about a mentor of mine years ago told me one of his favorite stories he liked to give the pastors and those becoming into the ministry. He said, so there was this minister, and he had passed. He was a good minister. And he passed, and he went to heaven, and he was a little bit full of himself because he thought, wow, I've done a great thing. Can you know how many people have come to Christ because of my sermons and how good I've been? And St. Peter's there to meet him. He says, yep, we know what a great job you've done. He says, so where am I going to live? So he takes this gorgeous place, and it's like they start walking through all these places. They're more than mansions, they're castles. But he happens to notice every time he walks by one of these castles, there's some little old lady sticking her head out, or some kids playing, or a widower, or just some ordinary looking people. And they all got these great big mansions, these great big castles. And he's thinking, wow, wait till we get to where I'm going. Well, they get there, and here's this nice looking ranch house. It's got everything anyone could really want. But the old preacher, he's a little bit disappointed. He says, so why am I only getting this nice ranch house when they get castles? He says, St. Peter looks at him, he says, well, we know how many souls have come to Christ because of your sermons and how you delivered them. And he says, but you are really just merely a distraction. He said, the real people who did the hard work were all those people you saw in front of the mansions. They were our prayer warriors. They knew how to put on the armor of God. You know how important prayer is in our lives? You know how important it is that we use prayer in battling devil's evil schemes? God didn't call us to dress for success. God called us to dress for faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this very day for how you've given us all the right tools to be your warriors. How you've given us an opportunity to share with one another, to be with one another here this morning and learn how we are to put on your full armor of God. Bless us this week as we go out from here. Help us to reach others. Help us to know that we are your warriors, your prayer warriors. Guide us in what we do and what we say. Help us to let you know everything in our thoughts and everyone that we care for, everyone that we don't care for and their needs. Guide us in these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.